This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Final hour of Grant and Danny. We always kick things off at 1 o'clock with the big one, and that is today, a look ahead to Super Bowl 52. The guy who knows a thing or two about playoff football, and that is longtime Steelers quarterback and college superstar Cordell Stewart, who had a heck of a career in Pittsburgh and now has forged quite a career in broadcasting as well on TuneIn Radio's NFL channel. Cordell, thanks so much for a couple minutes. Now, I was just thinking about it. You go back to the 2001 AFC title game when this run began for Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, and they got to their first Super Bowl. You were playing in that game. It was Pittsburgh 13-3, New England 11-5. Brady that day was pedestrian, 12 completions, 115 yards. What would you have said if I walked up to him in the locker room and said, I'm going to call you in 17 years and Brady's going to be vying for his sixth ring and his eighth Super Bowl?
Grand Danny, thanks for having me on. But if you were to do that, you would have done that back then. I would have looked at you with a side eye, you know, that probably would have been stuck for a very, very long time and still made me looking that way because that's how hard I would have been cutting my eyes at you. But this is pretty, you know, this is pretty unique. I mean, you put him in a category of greatness and you talk about players like the Joe Montanas of the world and not even just championships, but just what he's done with what he's had over the years. Think of the time in which Joe Montana was playing back in the 80s and in the early 90s. He's done it with guys that he's been around with for a minimum of 5 to maybe 8 years. Let's just say 10 years for the most part. Ronnie Lott, Roger Craig. He had Jerry Rice. You look at Clark. I mean, the offensive lineman and Randy Cross. I mean, he had a chance to be with those guys for an extended period of time. And what Tom Brady has done, I mean, it's pretty remarkable. Tell me one player that he spent over 5 years with. The closest player may be what? Rob Gronkowski? I mean, that's the closest, and maybe a few other guys on this football team. But if you can name all of the receivers he's had since he's been the starter on this football team, you might have a minimum of 15 receivers. You know, think of the offensive linemen. Think of the defensive players. I mean, you even had players like the Rodney Harrisons that came through there, the late and great player and Junior Seau, who had a chance to come through, Randy Moss, who came through, and to see him still pushing and still being able to make the plays that we always like to equate it to being a system that I say, you know, I throw that in the trash to say, you know, if he's not a part of this system, they don't get anywhere close to where they are right now. But it's pretty remarkable that he and Coach Bill Belichick has been able to go out and do the things that they've accomplished, which is beyond conversation, to be honest with you.
Yeah, a lot of Rashay Caldwells and David Pattons in that list, Cordell. You're absolutely right. Well, let's go to the other team here in this game, Philadelphia. Nick Foles embattled. Last couple weeks of the season didn't look particularly good. Then you go to that Atlanta game, was, to me, pretty unimpressive. The game of his life, as good as anybody's ever played the position against a great defense in Minnesota. What did you see there, and how much of that can we say translates to the Super Bowl?
Well, I mean, if you're going back to the Atlanta game, he was 23 of 30, you know, complete what, up to 265 yards, no touchdowns, no INTs, but no one expected that, right? After playing against the Oakland Raiders and the Dallas Cowboys the way he did, you know, you kind of thought the world was coming to an end for Philly, and then he goes and he gives you something like, what, 26 of 33, 352, three touchdowns against arguably the best defense in the game when it comes to run and pass defense. I mean, they did against that defense everything that they wanted to. I would attribute that to that RPO offense, which is a run-pass option offense, where you force linebackers to step up, you hit guys on slants. But, hey, when you end up seeing that, then you have Torrey Smith catching passes down the field, who we've seen have gone from the Baltimore Ravens to San Francisco and then come to Philly, and you saw Alshon Jeffries. He's in Chicago. They pretty much gave him away. And Jay Ajayi in Miami, Adam Gase mentioning that he don't know what to do with this team and this offense and defense because no one's reacting the right way. And look where he's going. LeGarrette Blount, look at his story. Look at Chris Long. He's giving away all this money to education and the young kids coming from St. Louis and then going to New England. And now look where he is in Philadelphia going to a championship. And Nick Foles, I mean, he's been a journeyman for the most part going Philly, Kansas City, and back to Philly. And because Carson Wentz was gone, no one thought it would work. And look at Doug Peterson. You know, he was being undermined. You know, with people mentioning things about Coach Schwartz on the defensive line, as a defensive coordinator, undermining the things, saying he was in above his head. Not saying that Coach Schwartz said it, but that was the alleged conversation coming out of Philly. And look what he's done so far with all these guys. So it's pretty remarkable. I think it's going to be a great story. It should be. But you know what trumps all of this, right? It's the 8th Super Bowl. The guy has a chance to get 6. All this goes back to 2001 and 2002 Super Bowl. And here they are trying to take history to a whole nother level. I think it's going to be one where these guys are going to come in with their dog mask on, with poodles and chihuahuas and Great Danes and all this great stuff and canines. And they're going to go in with that underdog mentality and try to come out victorious like we've seen them do over the last couple weeks.
Cordell Stewart's on TuneIn Radio. You should check out the NFL channel. 11 seasons in the league, and he's with us now on Grant and Danny here on 106.7 The Fan. Cordell, you mentioned the run-pass options. This is the new hotness. I mean, I'm really enjoying watching these playoff games, particularly the way Philly and Doug Peterson puts it together. I'm curious for your expertise on this, though. Why don't we see this more? I'm surprised offenses don't major in this at this point. You're basically demanding of a linebacker to commit, and then when they do, you're getting a one-on-one in-breaking route in front of a defensive back if you're in man coverage. It seems like it's super high percentage and makes life easy on the quarterback. Why don't we see it more? What are the drawbacks for an offense?
Well, one, you know, it's like anything else that comes out new. It becomes a fad for a while, right? So you start out with the mobile quarterback. And, you know, you try to figure out how do you implement them into your system. You know, the Steve Youngs and the Randall Cunninghams and myself and the Steve McNairs and the Mark Brunels. You know, it became a fad, right, to where, you know, you get away from it, then you come back to it. And if it works, you stick with it, right? And so then all of a sudden you get to the point where you come back with that wildcat offense with Michael Vick and all these. So now you throw that into the mix of how you quarterback the mobile quarterback, right? So now all of a sudden quarterbacks are now become mobile to the point where we have a bunch of gurus on the mobile quarterback now, because back in the day it was just a passing quarterback. So now it's the mobile quarterback, and it's kind of adjusted and been able to adapt and really cover it the right way, you know, and been able to appreciate it because that style has won a lot. You know, the Russell Wilsons, the Donovan McNabb and his run of his success, even the Steve Young in his success in becoming a Hall of Famer because he's transcended his game from being a runner to all of a sudden a Hall of Famer, which became one of the most efficient quarterbacks in the game. So now here comes Chip Kelly, right? He brings this stuff into the game, you know, after using a Marcus Mariota and his run and using that style of offense and winning the national championship. He gets drafted early to go to the Titans. And now all of a sudden, you know, you kind of keep it in and you try to figure out if it can work. And so all of a sudden, the first time we've had a chance to really see it really, really work was with Nick Foles. Nick Foles comes in and he does it against Minnesota, and Minnesota looks like a little league team. Matter of fact, like they didn't even belong in the National Football League. So it's something that's like everything else. If it's something that comes on the scene and you know, is it going to be a blur or something that's going to stick? I think when it comes to the athletic quarterbacks that we're now seeing becoming, you know, consistent now, not as mobile as some, but mobile enough. I think when you bring the RPO system into the National Football League, I think that brings a little life to players like the Andrew Lux of the world, who I think should be in more of a, you know, run, half passing offense like he did in Stanford. So you add the RPOs to his style of play along with the physicality of being able to run. I think it makes his longevity a little bit brighter, because how many times we've seen him out because he's run and been so physical and been injured. So I think because he's a runner, and because he's capable of throwing the football extremely well, that play-action pass type deal, that run-pass option, I think it brings life. Look at Nick Foles. He's not the most mobile, but if you implement that with a great running game in an offensive line that know how to block, you allow these great players like the Kendricks, you know, like the Harrison Smiths that stick their nose in there, stick it in there just long enough to allow the Alshon Jeffries, who's been ran off by Chicago, to look like he's one of the best receivers in the game because of the implementation, I think, of that style of offense. Now, some will say, oh, it's just gimmick football. Did it look like gimmick football to us when we watched that against the Minnesota Vikings? It looked pretty real to me. So I think it's something that probably will be visited by some coaches. It's just a matter of the coaches who implement that style of play into the offense. Is he capable of sticking to it? Is it just something that he wants to throw in? Because if you have a mobile quarterback and you don't believe in that style, what do you end up doing? You end up changing him and try to make him something that he's not, like a Marcus Mariota. You know, he's not a passing quarterback in the pocket all day. He's an all-around type quarterback where if you give him the RPOs enough, you know, that can help your offense and somewhat hide some of the deficiencies you have on offense, because now you put the defense on their heels of trying to figure it out, as opposed to having to deal with one of the best pass rushers coming off the edge, you know, with your offensive line that may be a little young or inexperienced. So now you take some pressure off. So I like the RPO offense, and if it could continue to work and maybe even put some pressure on this defense in New England and force them to have to play a different way, you know, that's hard to defend, you know, when your quarterback is efficient and he knows where he wants to go with the football. It's pretty hard to defend. And if it wins, watch what happens next year with these quarterbacks like the Baker Mayfields that are coming out, that are those mobile kind of quarterbacks, or the Josh Allen coming from Wyoming, to where he may be a part of the Cleveland Browns because they need a quarterback, or even the Sam Darnolds of the world, and also the Josh Rosen. So if these guys are mobile enough, and then that style is in the mindset of some of these traditional coordinators in the sense of their approach, other than the Sean McVays that are the new age type guys, I think it could be something that can bring a lot of terror, I would say, to some defenses.
Cordell, I just love the conversation. We're out of time. I wish you could do this for like 5 or 6 segments, man. I love the information. Love having you on. Really appreciate it, dude. Thank you.
Hey, guys. Thank you, man. It was fun. Thank you.
And we'll check out NFL No Huddle. Again, it's NFL on TuneIn for more Cordell Stewart joining us here on Grant and Danny. Got a few segments left in the show. Lots still to cover, including Bruce Allen talking about getting 23 players back from injury, and so we're going to be just fine. Are you okay with the coming back to the drawing board because 23 players are coming back, which that number is not quite exactly what you think it is. Anyway, also want to hit on some of our leftovers on the Wiz. Bradley Beal's an all-star, and the Capitals finally back in action tomorrow. You're listening to The Fan. Grant and Danny, 106.7, The Fan. We'll get you audio of Joe Thomas saying if he was the Browns, he would sign Kirk Cousins in just a moment. There are a couple of you on hold who have been waiting patiently at 800-636-1067 so we can continue to work calls into the show as well. A lot still to come in this final 40 or so minutes. Quick reminder, though, 106.7, The Fan Live's all sold out. No way in except by listening to Chad Dukes versus the World today. The event is Friday, Tally-Ho Theater, Leesburg. If you want to come, you've got to listen to Chad's show if you don't already have tickets. Presented by the Purple Heart Foundation. Details at thefandc.com/live. 5:20 today for your chance to win your way in. As Danny said, we actually got our run of shows, so we've got a little idea of what the layout looks like for the night. It's going to be entertaining.
Everybody gets a nugget. Everybody that's a huge, let's say you're a huge fan of Chad's show and nobody else's, you get served. If you are a fan of the Junkies, you'll get something. Everybody gets a little something.
I want real quick, Tom, to play one of the Jay Gruden cuts from yesterday that we haven't gotten to, because Danny, this was we played a lot of audio from the Senior Bowl. Listening back to the Bruce Allen interview on SiriusXM, listening to Baker Mayfield with the media, Mason Rudolph with Craig Hoffman, Jay Gruden with reporters, my favorite overall cut was when Jay Gruden said you don't have to target marquee players basically to fill needs. I want you to listen to him talk about the defensive line position. Because he says that the Redskins wanted Calais Campbell. And he's like, yo, we didn't have to go get Calais Campbell. We were able to get Stacy McGee. And he forgets Terrell McClain's name, and Craig Hoffman has to remind him who the other guy they signed was.
That's a great sign.
But his point is, you don't have to sign big-name free agents. You can go the cheaper route. McGee, at the end of the year, had a little bit of an impact. Mostly was a meh season. McClain may as well be released tomorrow. I mean, he may or may not be on the team. But listen to this as he's talking about free agency.
Well, there's different ways to target a position. It doesn't mean we have to target it by paying a guy $500 million. You know, we can, you know, like we addressed our defensive line, you know, we tried to get Calais Campbell last year, but we ended up getting Stacy McGee and who's the other one? Oh, yeah, McLean. So we got two guys for basically the price of one, or three for the price of one. So there's other ways to attack it. And that's something we're going to go through once we get back and have meetings with the scouts.
We wanted to get Calais Campbell, who, by the way, had 14 and a half sacks.
Who was amazing.
Forced three fumbles, yeah. Was one of the top five defensive players in the league this year, and helped turn the Jacksonville Jaguars into one of the best defenses of the last 10 years. We weren't able to get him, but we still addressed our defensive line because we got Stacy McGee and who was the other one?
It was the other one.
What's better, this one or they're playing how they're playing?
I like this one better.
It's a hard time to dethrone. They're playing that, you know, they're playing how they're playing. It's hard to dethrone that for me, but this is close. This is close because he knows.
I think what I love is he is answering as if his point is we did a good job. He said we wanted Calais Campbell. We couldn't do that. So we did the next best thing, and we solved our D-line. We went out and we got Stacy McGee, and he forgets Terrell McLean.
Who's the other one?
Who's the other one?
I want you didn't solve the D-line.
One of the Rolls Royce, but I got a bicycle.
Meant they're playing. Yeah, they're playing the way they're playing.
That might
That's
be
the
better.
Best one.
That one still might be better. How's your defense playing, Jay?
Meant they're playing. Yeah, they're playing the way they're playing.
Well, I know you didn't like the fact that you couldn't get Calais Campbell, but it was okay because you had another plan.
Who's the other one? Oh, yeah, McLean. So we got two guys for basically the price of one, or three for the price of one. So there's other ways to attack it.
When you get three for the price of one, you get three that aren't very good.
Yeah, that's what you get.
And that's kind of the point. Now, yeah. The D-line was passable because at one point Jonathan Allen was really good. At one point Matt Ioannidis was really good.
I don't know where, yeah.
You have contributions from a guy like Ziggy Hood that help you get by.
Anthony Lanier had huge moments. He
McGee
did.
McGee had a couple of moments that we liked. But come on. I just think... In its entirety, there
was the other one.
The question was basically targeting marquee free agents, and he made it sound like we had great success not doing that.
Oh, yeah, McLean. So we got two guys for basically the price of one, or three for the price of one. So there's other ways to attack it. And that's something we're going to go through once we get back and have meetings with the scouts and Doug and Bruce and coaches, and we'll go from there.
Different ways to attack it. Successful ways in the way that we did it.
There's the way that made the Jaguars great again, and then there's the way that we did it. Go to Dan in Fairfax. What's up, Dan? How
Danilo.
Are you?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, buddy.
I was wishing that I was John Gurley and I would be dating that gorgeous woman, but I guess an adult stood up and said, nope.
John Gurkey, that's Gurkey. Right. You want to date the same woman that we all want to date. Jeannie Bouchard.
Jeannie
exactly.
Bouchard.
Understandable. Get in line. It wraps around the block.
I usually never agree with Boob Allen, but I think it's really important to get all these players back. Healthy. We're talking about key members of the offense like Chris Thompson and Jordan Reed. And one more thing, guys. I have a football card of Cordell Stewart with a piece of actual game-worn jersey in
wow.
it when he was with the Chicago Bears.
Nice.
So thanks for taking my call.
Thank you,
thanks, buddy.
Buddy.
Yeah, it was good to hear his voice again. He's real good on the air. Look, I'm not knocking the idea that getting unhealthy players back isn't going to help the Redskins. Of course it's going to help.
Trent Williams coming back will help you. Chris Thompson coming
Absolutely.
Back will help you. We're not stupid.
So you have Williams, you have Thompson, you have Reed. I would throw into that list. You
yep.
have Monte Nicholson. You have
Mason Foster.
Well, Spencer Long's
actually,
a free agent.
Forget that.
He's a free agent.
Jonathan Allen.
Jonathan Allen. So there's five guys right there. Chris Carter, I'll even say, as a special teams ace would be sixth. The problem is he says 23 guys like they're all under contract in Redskins for next year. A lot of them are free agents. Terrell Pryor. Guys like Trent Murphy, a player like a Sean LaVau on IR, I mean, or a Spencer Long on IR, or a Mason Foster, or Will Compton. They could sign elsewhere. Then some of the 23 are LaShawn Daniels, who's never going to play another down for the Redskins again, probably. Or does anyone know who Kevin Bowen is? Do you remember that guy who went on IR last year? So I'm just saying that it's misleading and it's a little bit irresponsible to say, we're getting 23 guys back that'll be on our roster next year from IR.
23 and me, it's in our DNA.
No, you're not, Bruce. That's a funny zing, by the way.
Thank you, just made it up.
You're probably getting 7 or 8 guys back that'll help you next year from injured reserve, which is a big deal. And if you listen to this show, we correctly said all year long, the injured reserve list growing was a problem. But let's just call it what it is and not act like you're getting half your roster off injured reserve
right, so,
and everybody's going to be back and healthy and helping you and signing again.
Let's say all 23 do come back for somehow, some miracle way. So what does that mean? Is that a 12-win team? Is that a first seed in the NFC now? It's not. You know what I mean? That's my big problem with this. It's the dealing in sort of extremes. And again, there's not much that he could say at this point that would make me that excited simply because of the state of the union. So I understand that it's almost unfair to rip him for it. By the way, Last week, I was like, why are we not hearing anything about them talking to Zach Brown? Well, they are. They're trying. So compliments there. So I'm just trying to be fair here. But the point is, this whole thing is about Bruce and company telling everybody, we know best, it's fine. They did it this past year. They got away with it because of all the injuries, and they're going to run it back, and that scares the hell out of me. Because Bruce doesn't know better than everyone else, despite what Adam Schefter says. This is not the most qualified man for the job.
He said he's one of the smartest men in the NFL.
He did say that.
That was an Adam Schefter quote on a Denver radio station.
He's very shrewd.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. Joe Thomas is a 10-time Pro Bowler with the Cleveland Browns. He says he wants the Browns to sign Kirk Cousins. You will hear that next on the Fan.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
A few weeks ago on NFL Network, Broncos linebacker Brandon Marshall was guesting on a show. He was asked what he hoped his team did at quarterback, and he basically said sign Kirk Cousins. Now, he didn't use his name, but they said, what do you want to do? And he said, we've gone the route of the kid quarterback in the draft. I'd rather go with a veteran. They said, do you have any preferences? And he said, well, we played a guy in Week 16 that I thought was pretty good. They played the Redskins in Week 16. So unless he meant that he really liked how Colt McCoy looked standing on the sideline and he wants to trade for Colt McCoy, he was probably talking about Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
Didn't say his name. The same can't be said for Joe Thomas, who was on ESPN Radio this morning, and he was asked what the Browns should do this offseason.
If I was the GM, what I would do, we have $118 million in cap space, so we got plenty of money to do whatever we want, but I would actually sign Kirk Cousins, and then I would use the first and fourth pick on the best players available, probably Saquon Barkley and one of the defensive players. So I'm not exactly sure where they go, where they rank all the quarterbacks, but for me, I would rather sign Kirk Cousins because we have the money. Then you don't have to waste a draft pick to trade for a guy like Alex Smith, who is one of the other names that's out there, obviously the connection with John Dorsey. Mm-hmm. So for me, I think you sign Kirk Cousins, and then you draft Saquon Barkley and the best defensive player available. All of a sudden, you're a heck of a lot better immediately overnight.
Couple of things. First of all, is Joe Thomas retiring and I don't know it?
Yeah, is that how rare is that?
I cannot believe he answered this question this candidly, and he's basically giving his actual opinion and blueprint as to what he wants the front office to do as a current player. Do you think, though, he's stepping away and he's getting a job at ESPN or something and he's showing I can be a good analyst?
Laying the groundwork like the other Brandon Marshall.
10-time Pro Bowler has been in the league forever, coming off of a serious injury.
Man. It's pretty frank, wasn't it?
And no kidding.
Pretty open and honest. Yeah, I'm not really that big a fan of DeShone Kizer. I'd rather have another guy. You usually hear guys talk that way. I don't mind it, by the way. I'm not killing it. He's sick of losing. All he's ever done is lose. He had one good year in his whole career where they won more games than they lost, I believe.
Well, theoretically, though, if he's back with the Browns, assuming he's not retiring, then I would think there's a chance he could be blocking for DeShone Kizer, right?
Yeah.
You're going to say this on the radio? This is what you would do? I'm glad he did, because I think the more honest players are, the better. I just think it's interesting when a dude comes out and gives the blueprint to this detail. What do you think of his plan? What do you think Browns fans would think? I'm assuming they'd be very happy. Do you think Cousins would have any interest in Cleveland? I know about the nonsense report a few days ago that he'd be interested in the Browns.
Right.
I call it nonsense because what is he going to say? By the way, he didn't say anything. It was someone close to him said, they want as big a market as possible.
Yeah.
So his agent and Cousins and everyone else is going to say they would be interested in all 32 teams. Why would you say that you weren't interested in anybody? So I don't care what's been reported. My question is, do you think he would actually be interested in playing in Cleveland for the Browns?
I don't think it'd be his first or second or third or even fourth or fifth or all the way down to like the 27th choice. It's like let's say there was a negotiation going on with me and I was like, I'll totally go to the easy listening station. I'll totally go there. If you don't stop me, I'm going to go in the hopes that, that I get a match. You know what I mean? Like, I think you would treat Cleveland that way in the sense that they've got the cap space that Joe Thomas referenced. I just can't believe that any quarterback would want to do it. Now, again, the day you were out for your bachelor party, Chris Russell and I argued about this for the better part of an hour. where he said, yeah, there's a path to them being pretty good. I said, yeah, there is. I could see it. New executives with these number of draft picks. I saw that path a couple times ago with the numbers guys. I saw this path to go a couple coaches. You have to do a ton to get out of the absolute bottom barrel of the U-bend to the toilet at this stage, just to get to where you are with the Redskins. I can't believe it'd be anybody's first choice. Now, if they offer you the most money by far and they can show you the path to acceptability, not even greatness, but acceptability, maybe you do it, but I just can't believe he would want to take on that responsibility as a 30-year-old quarterback.
I wonder what it would cost. And that obviously is dependent on whether or not Cousins gets a transition tag. Because if the Redskins franchise him, he's here at $34 million and nothing else matters. That's very unlikely to happen. If they transition him, he's not going to sign with the Browns, I wouldn't think. But he's probably not going to sign with anybody because then he won't be able to hit free agency because the Redskins would very likely just match the offer or he'd go wherever he signed.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why I think if they transition him, he'll just come back at 1 year on a transition tag of about $28 million. If they let him just hit free agency and they do nothing, which I actually think is still a pretty good possibility, I would, if I'm the Redskins, transition him before I did that, because then otherwise he's just gone potentially and you're getting no compensation back. Whereas with the transition tag, you at least protect yourself to have him for 1 year potentially, or you have the chance to match the deal. But if they just let him become a free agent, I've said this to a bunch of people, I think he'll sign way cheaper than he would in Washington to go to Jacksonville. Like everyone says, oh, the Jags aren't going to pay him $28 million a year. It may not take that.
May not have to.
He may say, I could win a Super Bowl in Jacksonville. I'll go for $22 million. Guarantee me the first 3 years, 66, and let's get a deal done. He may go to Arizona cheaper than he'd sign with Washington. He may go to Denver at $20 million a year, guarantee me the first 4 years. And you could do a structure the likes of which we haven't seen, where he gets $80 million guaranteed, 4 years of football guaranteed. He's been a durable guy who hasn't missed any time. And he signs at a $20 million cap number every single season, where the first 4 years are just fully guaranteed. He's not going to do that in Washington because he's not cutting these guys a discount for reasons we've been talking about for 3 years.
Sure, their negotiation and their price tag has to include these various tags. So he's got to start at 28.
He couldn't sign one of those team-friendly deals on the transition tag because the Redskins would benefit and just sign him. He's doing that win elsewhere. He's doing that because I think I can win a Super Bowl in Jacksonville.
So if he's allowed to walk with no restriction, then you could see him signing an affordable deal.
Then I take a discount to win a title, and I get guaranteed money
up. I think it's a good point.
With less cap space taken up.
So I think the risk, though, to play this out. What do you mean to play us out? What does that even mean? Whatever it's written on the teleprompter isn't right. I think if you did a transition tag, right, I think their worry is then you really and truly get nothing if he does sign somewhere else and you don't match. You see what I'm saying? Like, your logic is correct, and I'm agreeing with you. I'm trying to put myself in the thinking of the Washington Redskins. Their fear is to end up with truly nothing. So free agency, at least you get a compensatory draft pick, and they'll try to spin that and sell that and then draft a QB, and we'll mail out the season tickets and put Baker Mayfield's name everywhere, and that'll be that. I think they're afraid of truly ending up with nothing and truly seeing what the actual market is. That's why I think they fear the transition tag. What do you think of that? Am I completely tinfoil hatting at ham radio listening in the middle of the night, hearing static and thinking I have another
Area
51?
The number?
So in other words, if
I don't think that's crazy.
I put you transition. So in other words, transition tag happens. He goes and signs a market value offer with somebody. I think they're afraid of that. I think they're afraid of the true actual market as they've been mired in this, a fraction of what the actual market price is for years.
They're afraid of how high it would be?
Yeah, they're afraid to look stupid because they could have had him at market value for years much cheaper than he's going to get. One. But two, they're afraid that it may be too rich for their blood, which is an acceptable view, by the way. He signs a huge deal in transition tag free agency. Then you get no compensatory picks. You get nothing. You get zero. Whereas if he leaves via regular free agency, you get your third round draft pick as like a sorry.
Compensation.
Yeah, the compensation pick. Yeah. So maybe they go, we'll spend that. We've got something. Now we got cap room to play with. Whereas if that's why
basically
I think,
though, like trading Cousins for a third rounder and it's such a huge loss. Here's the problem. They can't worry about any of that. It's already over in the sense that they already are going to look bad one way or the other.
Mm.
They've already screwed it up. You cannot continue to do things incorrectly to try to cover up an issue that can't be covered up. The problem was committed 2 years ago now and compounded last year. So to continue to make decisions based on how they're going to look or what's going to look the worst, I don't think they can worry about that anymore. It's over. You screwed up. You made the mistake. You can't keep making more mistakes for fear that at some point someone's going to call you out for your mistake. people who know already know. I don't think it's as much that as I think it is the fear of compensation and not getting anything back. Not that they're worried how they're going to look when he gets a huge number.
See, I think that's you're applying good logic and reason to people that have demonstrated they don't always have it. I think what you're saying is right. That's how I would feel. I go, listen, we can't worry about how we appear. We've already lost in the court of public opinion. They don't know that they've lost. That's why Bruce Allen calls a press conference with a couple select people and, you know, spits into the microphone. We offered him an awful lot of money, and he told us to go pound all the sand and kick a rock and do a science experiment. That's why they did that, because they still think they can win this in some twisted, isolated, cockamamie bit of logic. I think.
I don't know about that. Maybe. I mean, in their minds, they probably are more right than they actually are. You know, in their minds, they're saying, we've been doing this right all along. One year at a time, we'll reinvent the industry. And everyone's just kind of laughing.
We've played it like a fiddle.
Grant and Danny on the fan. Joe Thomas says the Browns should sign Kirk Cousins. What do you think? 800-636-1067.
How's your New Year's resolution going? You sticking to it? You going to the gym every day after work like you said you were going to do? Or have you already started the slack? You want your clothes to fit better? You want to lose body fat and be healthier than you've been? For me, since high school, you got to do what Grant and I have done. Go see EMP180 Weight Loss. They will help you. Set those goals. Check in on those goals. Be consistent and have a good attitude thanks to EMP180 Weight Loss.
EMP180weightloss.com is their website. That's EMP180weightloss.com. Go in today for a consultation. They've got offices in Tyson's Corner and in Rockville. This company's exploding, so they're going to have more offices very soon. They are already in the works. Conveniently located by you so that you can get that body comp. Find out about your percentage of body fat, your percentage of muscle, what your percentage of body fat should be based on your height and your weight and your lifestyle and some of your health restrictions and things going on in your life. And they're going to get you down to the perfect amount of all the percentages that you're supposed to have in your body. They're going to work hard. Call them today, 855-888. They're going to work with you, 855-888-0180. That's 855-888-0180. It's EMP180 Weight Loss. It's been a really good show today. If you missed any part of it, you can go grab the podcast when we're done. GrantandDanny.com/audio. I would advise you to listen to our interview with Booger McFarland on some of the best college players in the country, what the Redskins might want to do at number 13. He had some good intel on Vita Vea of Washington. Big nose tackle he thinks is going to be the next Vince Wilfork. Also, Cordell Stewart was outstanding at 1 o'clock today, and we caught up with our beat reporter Craig Hoffman, our daily appointment with him, as he is in Mobile covering the Senior Bowl, reacted to Bradley Beal becoming an all-star, talked to Baker Mayfield. It's all available for you, grantanddanny.com/audio. Wrapping up the show with your calls on Joe Thomas saying the Browns should sign Kirk Cousins. If you were Kirk, would you have interest in Cleveland? 1-31 the last 2 years. Hugh Jackson goes into the year on the hot seat. It's the Browns. Quarterbacks go there to die. But suddenly they've got some talent, and they do pick twice in the top five. So you could be handing off to Saquon Barkley, and you could be adding another wide receiver to throw to with Josh Gordon, Corey Coleman, David Njoku, and they spent some money last year on their line. Mike is in Gainesville. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Mike.
Yeah, see, before the break, you guys were talking about the transition tag. So one of the things with the new CBA, prior to the old CBA, was what was called the poison pill, and where teams could actually front-load a contract so heavily that another team couldn't use the transition tag and actually try to match it, because in this case, Cleveland could offer $60 million a year for the first year, and Washington would have no cap room to be able to match that. That's gone away. And so now it's a percentage of the above the actual transition tag. And so it gives more leverage to the teams to be able to use this instead of an overall franchise tag. And so if Cleveland were to come in at a bid of, you know, let's say $40 million, or whatever the percentage is, that still gives Washington a chance to match that. There is a little bit of leverage in which Washington has by using that transition tag versus just outright applying the franchise tag. So that's something that I haven't heard a lot about, but it's something that is part of the new CBA and which gives leverage to Washington to be able to use that.
It's easier now than it used to be, no doubt, for a team to keep a guy on a transition tag because the poison pill has largely been done away with. That is correct. it is still not impossible to use a poison pill that isn't actually the one that they have kept you from. When you have a lot more salary cap space, you can still front load deals, just not to the extent that you used to be able to.
You could still guarantee a bunch of cash. There are ways to do it.
And not only that, you could still put that first number at $35 million if you want to. Yeah, you can't do 60 or whatever, some crazy number that used to happen. But you could still do something that the Redskins, just without nearly as much cap space, would have a hard time matching. That is still absolutely legal. It goes against why they changed the rule, but they can't say you can't structure a deal in a way that benefits your organization. So it's just a less extreme version of it. But you're right. It is a better situation for the teams in general than it used to be. The Browns have $118 million, so they're going to be able to get creative and to get cute. I'm more curious, if I'm Cousins, would I want to be a Brown? Jay in D.C., what's up?
Hey, Jay.
Hey, let me just say real quick, that McClain clip is the funniest I've heard. I haven't been able to call today. I wanted to mention that, but I'm glad you guys brought it up. It really makes me scared, honestly, because I was looking. I think Grant, you told me like that we could drop McClain for like $1 million. But I'm looking on Sport Track and it's saying the dead cap is going to be $7 million.
But
and
depends the way when you do it. So there, what you should use is a site called Over the Cap, and Over the Cap gives you the abilities of cutting players. And before June 1st and after June 1st, the difference for McClain is massive if you wait till right before training camp.
Okay. All right. That makes me feel better. But basically, I think Chris Russell is a prophet. I think he knows that Kirk Cousins is going to do well in Cleveland, and he's going to bring him back from the dust. But I think I don't think he'll go to the Jaguars because they only have $20 million in cap space. I just don't see that happening, especially if we give him the
The only way I can see him in Jacksonville is on a true free agency deal, where he basically takes a little discount up front and then they pay him a little bit more on the back end.
Yeah, they can make a cap, they can massage it. You can
absolutely
make a cap figure fit.
Transition tag, I think anything they would be able to get done with him would probably be matchable. Richard Gainesville, you're on the Fan. What's up?
Hey guys, I called last week when Danny and Chris were having this conversation, and like I said, the only two reasons I can think of not to sign there would be the owner, and I'm not sure the head coach is all that that great. And I would even go so far to say that if he signs with Cleveland, they'll have a better record than the Redskins next year, because they are talented and they're young. They got Greg Williams. It's really not looking as bad as it used to.
No, but we're a couple weeks removed from them finishing an 0-16 season.
It's the same thing that happened when Griffin went there, and everybody kept telling me how great a guru that Hugh Jackson was for offenses and how he was this genius. Everybody somehow is inflating the talent of this 0-16 roster. It's amazing to me that that all it took was about 3 weeks left from the regular season end. We go, there's a lot of talent there. Not that much talent.
Well,
there are a few players that are talented. Every team's
got talented, but they have offensive talent that if Kirk Cousins was there, they would have a pretty good offense right away. If you give him Saquon Barkley with one of your two top five picks, which is now an elite-level running back, with Duke Johnson and or Isaiah Crowell. I think Crowell's a free agent. So let's say it's Duke Johnson out of the backfield with Saquon Barkley, who can also catch passes, with Corey Coleman and Josh Gordon on the outside. That's an elite-level wide receiver in Gordon, who looked like he didn't miss a beat at the end of the year, and Corey Coleman, who's a first-round pick, who knows what he'll end up being, and Njoku. I'm just saying that's not a bad skill set of player. That's not a bad skill group at all. But I'm with you. It's the Cleveland Browns, and by default, my thought would be, you're going there to go 4-12, and you're going to end up leaving dirtier than where you got there.
I don't know. It's very interesting to me that this is all happening now. The they've got some talent. Of course, there were guys that they drafted. Myles Garrett was drafted high. He might be pretty good. The kid out of Michigan, who's the kind of the hybrid. Peppers is the sort of the different player.
I'm looking at the offense more than anything else.
I'm simply saying that the idea that there's this huge amount of talent for this 0-16 team, 1-31 over the last 2 years, it's just a little bit comical to me. That's all I'm saying.
How much better is the Redskins' skill position talent than the Browns?
If
you take Jordan
Reed
out of the equation, I think Cleveland's is better.
If everybody's healthy?
Everyone's healthy, which just means Jordan Reed is added, basically.
And Chris Thompson is added.
Okay, Chris Thompson as well.
Receivers more upside probably in Cleveland because Josh Gordon's a superstar. If he's available. I mean, even though he caught less than half the passes thrown to him, I attribute that to some rust, bad quarterback play, et cetera. So Gordon's the best of the group.
If Jordan Reed's healthy, the Redskins have a little bit better skill group, I think, than the Browns. A little bit.
Yeah.
Jordan Reed's never healthy. And generally speaking, from a passing game standpoint, I would put Cleveland ahead of Washington, which is kind of at its core what we're talking about.
It's also what we're talking about.
Go to grantanddanny.com/audio if you want to listen to any of our interviews or any part of today's show. 520 today, Chad Dukes versus the world. Your chance to win tickets to 106.7 The Fan Live.
For GP, for Brendan, for Thom, I'm Danny. CDVTW is up next. Why hasn't anyone signed Lorenzo Cain? Chad Dukes has the answer. Top of the show, middle of the show, end of the show. The entire show will be breaking down why anyone hasn't signed Lorenzo Cain, former Kansas City Royal.
I like that. Defensive UDR message for the use as well.
CDVTW.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.